Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Ksubas, Daf Mem Gimel, the fourth parak, Na'ar Sheni Spasasa. The Zikud Maseches Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaChazachas HaTorah. So the feetups are going to focus on number one. Rabbi Avina asked Rav Sheshes, Bas Hani Zonis Mina Achin, Masi Adel Lami, a daughter who is being supported by her brothers from her father's estate, to whom do her earnings belong? Do we say, B'makam Avkaimi, that they stand in place of their father, and just as there her earnings belong to the father, so to here her earnings belong to the brothers, or do we say that the brothers are not like the father? For there she's being supported from that which is his, whereas here she's not being supported from that which is theirs. Rav Sheshes responded that Rabbi Avina has already learned them an answer in a mission that states, Aman nizonas min nichse yusomim masiyadeh shalahen. An almana is supported from the property inherited by orphans, and her earnings belong to them. Rashi explains that we see from here that sons stand in the place of their father. Rav Yosef challenged Rav Sheshes' ruling, which Rav explains is based on a Mishnah, from which he learned, Masi Adea Kamitsiyasa, that her earnings are like what she finds. Just as what she finds during her father's lifetime belongs to him, and what she finds after her father's death belongs to her, so too what she earns during his lifetime belongs to the father, but after his death belongs to her. Point number two is said in the name of Rav. Bas hanizonas mina achin masi yadei la'atzma. A daughter is being supported from the estate by her brothers, her earnings belong to her, for it is written in regard to an Eved Kenani, v'isnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem. You shall keep them in your possession for your children after you to inherit. This implies osam livnechem, v'lobonasechem livnechem. Only they are passed on as a heritage to your children, but your daughters are not passed on as a heritage to your children. Magid she'ein adam morish zechus bito livno. This tells us that a person does not bequeath to his son the rights that the Torah grants him in his daughter. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Hama'aris es bito v'gersha ersa v'nisarmula ksubasa shalo. If one gave his daughter, who was a katana or nara in erison, and the chasen divorced her before nisuin, and then the father gave her over a second time, and she was widowed before nisuin, her ksuba from both marriages belonged to the father. If he gave her a nisuin, and the chasen divorced her, and the father gave her a nisuin a second time, and she was widowed, ksuba sashala, the ksuba from both marriages belonged to her. Rabbi Yehuda says, Arishona shalav, the first ksuba belongs to the father. They said to him, Meshehisiyah ein lehavia reshusba, once he gave her a nisuin, her father has no reshus over her. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef give a reason for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the first ksuba belongs to the father, which the Gemara challenges and then amends to Hol b'reshuso nichtavin, since they are written while she's still in her father's reshus. Since the ksuba is written before the nisuin, while the daughter is in arusa and still in her father's reshus, the father acquires the rights to the monies in the first ksuba. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Avina asked Rav Sheshes, Bas hanizonas mina achin masi yadei lami. A daughter who is being supported by her brothers from her father's estate, to whom do her earnings belong? Do we say, B'makam avkaimi, that they stand in place of their father, and just as there her earnings belong to the father, so to here her earnings belong to the brothers, or do we say that the brothers are not like the father? For there she's being supported from that which is his, whereas here she's not being supported from that which is theirs. Rav Sheshes responded that Rabbi Avina has already learned them an answer in a mission that states, Aman nizonas min nichse yusomim masiyadeh shalahen. An almana is supported from the property inherited by orphans, and her earnings belong to them. Rashi explains that we see from here that sons stand in the place of their father. Rav Yosef challenged Rav Sheshes' ruling, which Rav explains is based on a Mishnah, from which he learned, Masi Adea Kamitsiyasa, that her earnings are like what she finds. Just as what she finds during her father's lifetime belongs to him, and what she finds after her father's death belongs to her, so too what she earns during his lifetime belongs to the father, but after his death belongs to her. Point number two is said in the name of Rav. Bas hanizonas mina achin masi yadei la'atzma. A daughter is being supported from the estate by her brothers, her earnings belong to her, for it is written in regard to an Eved Kenani, v'isnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem. You shall keep them in your possession for your children after you to inherit. This implies osam livnechem, v'lobonasechem livnechem. Only they are passed on as a heritage to your children, but your daughters are not passed on as a heritage to your children. Magid she'ein adam morish zechus bito livno. This tells us that a person does not bequeath to his son the rights that the Torah grants him in his daughter. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Hama'aris es bito v'gersha ersa v'nisarmula ksubasa shalo. If one gave his daughter, who was a katana or nara in erison, and the chasen divorced her before nisuin, and then the father gave her over a second time, and she was widowed before nisuin, her ksuba from both marriages belonged to the father. If he gave her a nisuin, and the chasen divorced her, and the father gave her a nisuin a second time, and she was widowed, Ksubasa Shalah, the Ksuba from both marriages, belonged to her. Rabbi Yehuda says, Arishona Shalav, the first Ksuba belongs to the father. They said to him, Meshehisiyah ain lavi reshusba. Once he gave her Nisuin, her father has no reshus over her. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef give a reason for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the first Ksuba belongs to the father, which the Gemara challenges and then amends to Hol Reshuso Nichtavin, since they are written while she's still in her father's Reshus. Since the Ksuba is written before the Nisuin, while the daughter is in Arusa and still in her father's Reshus, the father acquires the rights to the monies in the first Ksuba. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard Siman is a magazine. A magazine. So here goes. The daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought with the money she made after her father's death had the Eva Kanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, who she tipped using the money she received from two Ksubas after her father had married her off twice. Once again in slow motion. The daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines. Magazines? That must be run off Mem Gimel. The daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought with the money she made after her father's death, which reminds us, Rabbi Avinah asked Rabbi Sheshes, a daughter is being supported by her brothers from her father's estate, to whom do her earnings belong? Rabbi Sheshes answered they belong to the brothers, but Rabbi Yosef challenged him, which Rabbi explains is based on a mission from which he learned, Masi Yadea Kemitzi Asa, that her earnings are like what she finds, just as what she finds during her father's lifetime belongs to him, and what she finds after her father's death belongs to her, so to what she earns during his lifetime belongs to the father, but after his death belongs to her. So the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Eva Kanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav, a daughter who is being supported from the estate by her brothers, her earnings belong to her, for it was written in regard to an Eva Kanani, V'isnachatam osam livnechem acharehem, you shall keep them in your possession for your children after you to inherit. This implies only they are passed on as a heritage to your children, but your daughters are not passed on as a heritage to your children. Magid she'ein adam morish zuchus bito livno. This tells us that a person does not bequeath to his son the rights that the Torah grants him in his daughter. So the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Eva Kanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, who she tipped using the money she received from two Ksubas after her father had married her off twice. Which reminds us, the next mission states that if one gave his daughter, who is a katana or a nara, in erison, and the chasen divorced her before Nisuin, and then the father gave her over a second time, and she was widowed before Nisuin, her Ksuba from both marriages belonged to the father. If he gave her in Nisuin, and the chasen divorced her, and the father gave her in Nisuin a second time, and she was widowed, Ksubasa Shalah, the Ksuba from both marriages, belonged to her. Rabbi Yehuda says, Harishona Shalav, the first Ksuba belongs to the father. The Gemara explains the Malchokas. So once again, the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Eva Kanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, who she tipped using the money she received from two Ksubas after her father had married her off twice. All right, now it's time for four Blat Bat Chazara. Daf Lamites. So the Simur Daf Lamites is a letter, and we often use a mailman. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more Daf Lamites, letter. The mailman who delivered the Knas package to the Na'ara, who got married after she was violated, which reminds us, Rav asked the Bai, Ba'al ha'vin yis'ar samal, what's the halacha? If one violated a Na'ara and she became engaged before the violator was found guilty. Abaya answered, the pasuk does not say, v'nasin la'vi ha'Na'ara, ashulo arusa, and the violator shall give to the father of the Na'ara who was not engaged. And this is different from the case where she got married. For just as her becoming a bogeris removes a daughter from her father's ushus, and marriage removes her from her father's ushus, then just as in the case of a bogeris where one violates her as a Na'ara and she becomes a bogeris, before judgment she gets the kanas, so too in the case of her marrying she gets the kanas. But with regard to kedushin, she's not completely removed from her father's ushus, in that her father and her husband can annul her nadarim. So the mailman who delivered the kanas package to the Na'ara, who got married after she was violated, along with a big poster from Basin, listing the differences between Ha'onis and the Mafate, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists the differences between Ha'onis and the Mafate in terms of the payments that are made and when they must marry the woman. So the mailman who delivered the kanas package to the Na'ara, who got married after she was violated, along with a big poster from Basin, listing the differences between Ha'onis and the Mafate, overheard her tell her father she was so grateful he prevented her marriage to the one who violated her from happening. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, in both cases of the seducer and the violator, both she and her father can prevent the marriage from taking place. The Gemara asks, where is it known that the father can block the marriage if she's violated? Abaye answered, Shelo yechota niskar. It's logical that the sinner should not be rewarded for his sin. And Rava said, it's a kal vachomer. If in the case of the seducer who only went against the will of the father, both the girl and the father can prevent the marriage, then all the more so with the violator who went against the will of the father and the daughter, he or she can prevent the marriage. Daf Mem, so the simmer Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. When the Nar Mamzeres was instructed to say she doesn't want to marry her violator, he dove into the pool. Pool? That must be on Daf Mem, Mime, swimming pool. When the Nar Mamzeres was instructed to say she doesn't want to marry her violator, which reminds us, if one violates a woman who is unfit to marry a Jew, such as a Mamzeres, he's not permitted to keep her, for the Pasuk states, Velo siyeh le'isha, and she shall be to him a wife, which implies Isha harui lo, a woman who is fit for marriage to him, Rav Kahana said. Did he say the following argument in the presence of Rav Zvi from Narda? Nese asiv nidche losas, let the asiv is marrying her be docha, the losas they have not marrying a woman who is not fit to marry. Rav Zvi responded that we say, ase doche losase, in cases like Nila and Saras, where it's impossible to choose not to fulfill the ase. But here, although the violator has the mitzvah to marry the woman, if she says, I do not want him as a husband, is there any mitzvah's ase at all? Rashi explains that in all cases of unfit women, we instruct them to say she doesn't want the violator to be a husband, so that there is no mitzvah's ase. So when the Nara Mamzeres was instructed to say, she doesn't want to marry her violator, he dove into the pool to escape the boshes of begum payments, which are not included in the kanas. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why not say that the 50 slime is the payment for kanas, boshes, and begum? Abaye answers that the pasuk states that the violator pays the kanas tachas hasher inah because he has afflicted her, which implies that they are paid specifically because he violated her. And besides this payment for affliction, there are additional payments of boshes begum. Rava gives an alternative answer from the pasuk that states, "Vanasana isha shochev yimal la'avi hanara chamishim kesef." The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver shekels. This implies hanos shchiva chamishim, that for the pleasure of lying with her, he pays with the shekels of the father. But called the ekev boshes begum. From here we can infer that there are additional payments of embarrassment and depreciation. So when the Nara Mamzeres was instructed to say she does not want to marry her violator, he dove into the pool to escape the boshes begum payments, which are not included in the kanas, but was captured by her father, who was eager to receive them and was planning to marry her off to a mukoshrin, which reminds us. It's logical that boshes and begum go to the father, for if he wishes, he can give her over to a man who is repulsive, or a mukoshrin, afflicted with boils. Rashi explains that it's in the father's rishus to embarrass her and depreciate her value through relations with a repulsive person in exchange for the kedusha money. So since the violator preempted the father by embarrassing her and depreciating her value, he causes the father to lose out from the money he could have received. Daf Mem Olav, so the simmer Daf Mem Olav is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be more in Daf Mem Olav. The grandma who told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation, which reminds us, the next mission which states, the one who says, I seduced Pony's daughter, pays for Boshes Begum, but does not pay the knus, does not go according to the Tana of a price we taught, that a mafatu confesses, even Boshes Begum he doesn't have to pay, for he's not believed to discredit the daughter of Pony. Rapapa asked the Baya, what would be the halach if it was acceptable to the girl to suffer a bad reputation in order to receive the Boshes Begum? And the Gemara answers that perhaps it's not acceptable to her father. And even if it was, perhaps it's not acceptable to members of the family. Rashi explains that it's not for Basin to do something that will sustain the family's embarrassment. And even if it was acceptable to them, it's impossible there's not one family member in a distant land for whom it's not acceptable. So the grandma who told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation was incensed when Basin informed her she owed chetzi nezik as a kanas because her ox gored, which reminds us, more brings malchokas regarding chetzi nezik, half damages which are paid when a short term damages. Rav Papa said, Palganiska mamona, half damages are payment of damages. Rav Huda Breid Rav Yeshua says, Palganiska kanasa, half damages are kanas. So the grandma told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation. Was incensed when Basin informed her she owed chetzi nezik as a kanas because her ox gored, and that she had a court date in Eretz Yisrael because her kitty cat was a killer and eating large chickens, which reminds us. The Gemara states that now that it has been established that chetzi nezik is a kanas, in the case of a dog that killed and ate a sheep, or a cat that killed and ate large chickens, it's a case of unusual damage and we do not collect it in Bavel. collection of kanas requires dayanim with smicha, and smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. But if the damaged party sees property of the owner of the dog or cat, we do not take it away from him. And if the damaged party said to Basin, set a date for me to go to Eretz Yisrael to present the case in Basin with dayanim who have smicha, the courts set a date for him. And if the damager doesn't go by that date, mishamtinimle, we place a ban on him. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simra Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster's son's mobster. That must be more in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis who admitted after he swore was pater, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah in Shavuos. If one says to another, Anastu betisa is biti, you violated my daughter, or you seduced my daughter, and the defendant responds that he did not, and the father makes him swear, and afterwards the defendant admits that he violated or seduced her, and that he had sworn falsely, he's chayav to pay the claim, and an additional fifth, and bring an ushim, but Rav Shimon exempts him. Sheinu mishalem knas al pi asma, for the din is that one does not pay a knas by his own admission. The Chami said to him that even though he doesn't pay kanas by his own admission, he does pay for Boshu's Pagam by his own admission, since his denial has a monetary consequence. He is chayv anashim for his false oath. So the mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis who admitted after he swore was pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel kanas, which reminds us, Abai asks his Rebbe, Rabba, one who says to another that you violated or seduced my daughter and I sued you in Basin, and you were obligated to pay me money, referring to the 15 shekel kanas, and the defendant denies it all, swears, and then later confesses that he swore falsely, what's the law according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi says that, in fact, Rabbi Shimon does not treat a kanas after conviction as money. And when he said that Rabbi Shimon does treat it as money, Horisha Levanav, it was with respect to bequeathing it to his sons. So the mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel kanas, but were informed that a father is only entitled to a kanas when it is actually given to him. Which reminds me, Rav Yosef explained that in the case of Onus and Mefata, the Pasuk states, V'nasana isha shochevi ma'l'avi ha'nara chamishim kesef. The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver pieces. Wazik satora la'av el mashas nesina. The Torah did not entitle the father to the kanas until the moment it is actually given to him. When Rabbi said that a fine after conviction is considered money with respect to bequeathing it to his sons, Bashar kanasos, it was with respect to other fines. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you know that Rabbi said that Rabbi Shimon treats a kanas as money with regards to bequeathing it to one's sons? That's on Duff. Membes. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you know that a daughter's earnings after her father's death is like what she finds after his death? Just as she keeps what she finds, she keeps what she earns. That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you know Rabbi Shimon holds that if one swore that he was not Ma'anis or Mafata and then admitted he's Pata from a Kanas, that's on Duff? Membes. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you know holds between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? If a girl is married off twice, whether she gets both Ksubas or her father gets the money from the first one, that's on Duff? Mem Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that Boshes and Bagam go to the father since he's the one losing out, since he could have married her off to a Manuvar or Mukhashkin, that's on Daf? Mem. Good. Number 6. Which of the one, a Nar who gets engaged after she is violated, the father keeps the Kanas, but if she gets married, she gets to keep it, that's on Daf? Lamates. Good. Number 7. Which of the one from the Pasuk that an Ev Kanani is bequeathed to one's sons, but not one's daughter's earnings? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which of the one that Torah did not entitle the father to the Kanas until the moment it is actually given to him? That's on Duff. Mem Beis. Good. Number 9. Which of the one why it's necessary to teach that kofar, atoma money, cannot be given by those who murder b'mezid or b'shogeg? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good. And number 10, which of the one that since a Beis Din and Bava cannot judge cases of kanas, if the damaged party wants, they can set a court date in Eretz Yisrael? That's on Duff. Mem Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.